Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as mobistrippress.com. And if you want to call in, the lines are open because I've made sure that they're open. It's 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. There are lots of reasons why you want to listen to and download the podcast if you can't listen to this show all the time. And again, I guess I have to kind of promote myself because it's not like there's a lot of people. And as a matter of fact, if you start promoting the show for me, then I don't have to sound like some of those other conservative entertainers that are always plugging their books and so forth. As a matter of fact, I don't plug my books. I don't try to bring in reader comments and those types of things. What I try to give you the information so that you understand just how bad it is and just how easy it is to take this nation back and take our Constitution back and reclaim our republic. So with that said, this is the only show on air anywhere, the only show that asserts the constitutional solution, the constitutional solution to dealing with federal government overreach and the encroachment upon the states and all of our liberties. The content on this show, secondly, will also refer to content on previous shows. So this is another reason why you want to download these podcasts. That way you can understand in context to what I am saying, and that will help you have a bigger picture and understanding. Bear in mind, the content on these shows is not temporary. A lot of podcasts you listen to are rebroadcast of other conservative entertainers. Most of the stuff, you know, they rebroadcast that they did during the week on the weekend because they, you know, just monopolize the whole weekend schedule on their channels. And what ends up happening is you're hearing stuff that's no longer relevant. You go, why are we even listening to this? The point is that this show is providing you with content that you can actually learn from and that you should be able to act upon in getting your state moving and taking back its sovereignty, its roles, rights, responsibilities, and powers. And if you understand how important that is, then we can move forward in reclaiming the Republic. And so, moving on, those same reasons really actually apply to the crowdfunding, which is coming up next week. So I've set that deadline for myself. And if I don't make that deadline, then I'm just going to have to fire myself. So I've got a lot on my plate. But that being said, you know, nobody else is going to do this. And if you want to help, by all means, I am open for help. I need people that are willing to, you know, put their shoulders to the wheel or, you know, get their hands in the mix and get dirty or what have you. So be happy to take your help. Just contact me, hit me up on Facebook or send me an email or call into the show and we'll get your information off the air. But, you know, we'll make those connections. That being said, I have that video that is out there on my website. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you go to the Take Action page, you will be able to get that the presentation where I'm literally going through the academic argument. The Constitution is a contract that the inherent in the contract is stakeholders' ability to audit the contract, so forth and so on and so on and so on. So by all means, watch that. Get that out into other people's perspectives so that they can broaden their perspectives and understand really what the problem is. We've never taken control of our contract yet. And as long as we don't, they're going to run rickshaw right over us. And so it's very important to get this content and information out. You would think that, because nobody's been able to argue with me on this, nobody can refute that Republic Review and auditing the Constitution will not undo all this federal tyranny. If you believe otherwise, if you believe that this won't do it, then call. have somebody call. Have that person call. Have Mark Levin call. I'd be happy to take his call, and he can tell me how Republic Review is nonsense and for the birds, and he can point to the citing founding document. He can cite the founding documents where he gets that information. Because that's what I do, is I point to the founding documents and say, look, this is exactly what they called it. They called it a contract. They made it as a contract. That's why Article 7 is in there. That's why Article 7 required ratification and so many states to buy in. Anyway, it's really important that this content and so forth moves forward. And as well as that, I've got a big announcement to make before I get into some of this other stuff. The bullets are up. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage, you will find the academic argument or the irrefutable argument for Republic Review that we have to do this. And I just lay out the bullets, boom, 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 boom. And it is very clear that we have no other choice with what we have to do if we're going to assume any authority over this contract before it gets torn and set aside. Then now is the time. In addition to that, I also have the bullets that will kind of step you through the process of Republic Review. And as a matter of fact, at the bottom of those bullets, as well as on the Take Action page, you can find a link to the model, so you can actually download your own copy of these images of the model, as well as you can pull in the bullets and the argument and all that. Just keep in mind, this stuff is copyrighted, but it's not copyrighted for financial gain. It is copyrighted to keep people from making financial gain from it, if that makes sense. So it's there. It's on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Religious freedom. Do you have such a thing? Does the Constitution truly protect religious freedom? I don't think so, but I'd like to hear your take on it. As I looked through all of the broadcasting news and all of the information that I've parsed, and looking out my window, I do not see any sign that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow they'll start doing it. And then when they do it, I'll just go ahead and call Red State Talk Radio and say, I'm done. My job is done. We've finally won. Because it's going to take a little bit of effort. It's not as easy. And like I said last week, in my last show on Friday, we need a David. And if you don't understand why we need a David and what a David is, then maybe you should listen to that show. But moving on, I think it's really important to go over what I claim to be the most powerful and most important document in the history of our founding and the early years of our republic, because it clarifies some of the creep that was beginning of the limitations of the Constitution and so forth. And it's Madison's veto of the Bonus Bill. And so I've talked about this, and I've actually read this before, but I want to go through it again because it's that important. I could ask you to go download that again, but I'm kind of setting up, everything is kind of hinging off of this and a lot of these other documents. So that's why you're probably going to get fed these a few times. So forgive me for rereading this document. But when we come back, because I'm about a minute or so from the break, so there's just no point in my coming straight into it. But when we get back, we'll get into it. And before we go, are the words of our founding framers and the documents that they provided us that I am citing, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we've been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges, the professors, lawyers, politicians, bureaucrats, mainstream media, are what they're telling us the words of deceit? In contrast and comparison, I ask you to answer that question. Who is lying and who is being deceitful and who has what to gain? Because I can clearly tell you the framers have nothing to gain. They're in the ground. And with that, we've got a hard break, and as soon as we come back, we will be in the Bonus Bill. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so if you understand the backstory of the bonus bill, then you know that the legislators, his friends that came over and presented him this bill for signature, were thinking this was a slam dunk. Oh boy, they've got a good bill, and Madison's going to sign it. They're going to do good things. However, Madison vetoed it, and they talked to him, and this is exactly what they told him. And Come to find out, they didn't understand the Constitution. And so if you think that back in Madison's time, Congress didn't understand the Constitution and he constantly had to school them on the Constitution back then, how well do you think Congress even understands the Constitution today? You know, if you think of that little lesson that, you know, you whisper in one person's ear and it goes around a big circle, and by the time it comes back, it is just, you know, something completely different. And a lot of times people have fun with that. But of course, let me get into this. This is Madison talking, and he basically starts off saying, having considered the bill this day presented to me entitled An Act to Set Apart and Pledge Certain Funds for Internal Improvements, close quote. And which sets apart the pledges funds for constructing roads and canals and improving the navigation of watercourses in order to facilitate, promote, and give security to internal commerce among the several states and to render more easy and less expensive the means and provisions for the common defense. Again, close quote, because he's actually citing some things out of that bill. And he says, I am constrained or I am forced by the insuperable difficulty I feel in reconciling this bill with the Constitution. What a great president. He actually considered the Constitution in regards to what he was signing. Isn't that amazing? Whatever happened to that? Anyway, to the Constitution of the United States, to return it with the objection to the House of Representatives in which it originated. The legislative powers in Congress are specified and enumerated in the 8th section of the 1st article of the Constitution, and it does not appear that the power proposed to be exercised by the bill is among the enumerated powers, or that it fails by any just interpretation with the power to make laws necessary and proper. So right there, he's saying it fails with by any interpretation, by any just interpretation, to make laws necessary and proper. So there is your necessary and proper clause that Congress and the Supreme Court and the federal government like to use, that they create portals. Oh, well, we consider this necessary and proper, and because we have a necessary and proper clause, we can do this. To be clear, you cannot use the necessary and proper clause to gain a new role, responsibility, or power. You have to amend the Constitution. So I'm going to read this again. The legislative powers vested in Congress are specified and enumerated in the 8th section of the 1st article of the Constitution. And it does not appear that the power proposed to be exercised by the bill is among the enumerated powers, or that it fails by any just interpretation with the power to make laws necessary and proper for carrying into execution those or other powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States. So instantly, that clause is no longer an admissible clause for gaining something that is not an enumerated power. In other words, the necessary and proper clause can only be applied to enumerated powers. And you're going to get this three more times. Actually, I'll go through a couple of these a couple times. But anyway, the next paragraph, he says, the power to regulate commerce. So he's quoting out of the Constitution. The power to regulate commerce among the several states, close quote, cannot include a power to construct roads and canals and to improve the navigation of watercourses in order to facilitate, promote, and secure such commerce without a latitude of construction departing from the ordinary import of the terms strengthened by the known inconveniences which doubtlessly led to the grant of this remedial power to Congress. In other words, You cannot go down this path without departing from the actual understanding of the Constitution using the power to regulate commerce among the several states without really departing from that. So this is the Commerce Clause. He highlights the Commerce Clause at the very beginning of this. And as he moves through this, he's saying, there's no way you can make this connection in the Constitution that this falls underneath the Commerce Clause, because we have no power that has been associated to constructing roads, canals, or improving the navigation of watercourses, period. Okay, so he moves on into the next paragraph, because this is really where he gets into the common defense and general welfare. And I think he repeats that a few times, but he also gets into the Supremacy Clause in this next one. And he says, to refer the power in question to the clauses to provide, to the clause to provide for common defense and general welfare would be contrary to the established and consistent rules of interpretation, as rendering the special and careful enumeration of powers which follow the clause nugatory and improper. What he just said is, because you cannot use this clause to provide for the common defense and general welfare and then just say that we can use it for anything we want, because it would completely strike out all of the listed powers that come behind that. That term, the provide for common defense and general welfare, is really a preamble in listing these powers. And he goes on, such a view of the Constitution would have the effect of giving to Congress a general power of legislation instead of the defined and limited one hitherto understood to belong to them. The terms common defense and general welfare, embracing every object and act within the purview of a legislative trust, it would have the effect of subjecting both the Constitution and the laws of the several states in all cases not specifically exempted to be superseded by laws of Congress, it being expressly declared, and now he gets into the Supremacy Clause, that the Constitution of the United States and laws made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges of every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So he continues and says, such a view of the Constitution finally would have an effect of excluding the judicial authority of the United States from its participation in guarding the boundary between the legislative powers of the general and the state governments, inasmuch as questions relating to the general welfare, being questions of policy and expediency, are unsusceptible of judicial cognizance and decision. And if you kind of garner what he's saying there, is that this would basically unleash, this would be like opening Pandora's box. All the demons are going to come out, and that Congress would be completely unlimited. Now, of course, he is not aware of all the little things that Madison was not aware of what Marshall was doing by creating these unconstitutional footings and growing the scope of the Supreme Court at the same time he was doing this, because Maryland v. McCulloch was just around the corner after Madison vetoed this, and it was all dubious work on Marshall's part. But we're at a hard break. I'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so as we were just going to break, we were getting into the how Madison was breaking this out from the Supremacy Clause. And so I want to kind of go back into that because he says, as he leads into this, let me find the front end. It would have the effect of subjecting both the Constitution and laws of the several states in all cases not specifically exempted to be superseded by laws of Congress. If all of a sudden they could apply every law that falls underneath the General Welfare and Defense Clause. And so it's really important to separate each of these different clauses and understanding their intent. The general defense and general welfare did not mean that the federal government was to provide general or common defense and general welfare to every state as the states needed welfare and so forth. It was more of an ambiguous, we're going to have the intent of ensuring that every state is equally treated and every state is going to, you know, be defended and, you know, cared for within the powers that we have. And that is it. Because by going down this path, then all of a sudden, this construction of believing that the federal government is supposed to provide common defense and general welfare would be, you know, absurd. As a matter of fact, if you understand the Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 16, that is where the federal government is supposed to train and equip the militia within the states, because the states are supposed to have their own level of defense, not for the federal government to provide for common defense of all things. That is not the case. Anyway, as we move on, such a view of the Constitution, I'm going to repeat this again because it's important, such a view of the Constitution finally would have the effect of excluding the judicial authority of the United States from its participating in guarding, because the judiciary is supposed to guard the boundaries of the Constitution from these different powers, whether they be from the states or whether they be from the federal government or even within the federal government from one branch encroaching upon another. And so guarding the boundary between the legislative powers of the general and the state governments inasmuch as questions relating to the general welfare, being questions of policy and expediency, are unsusceptible of judicial cognizance and decision. A restriction of the power to provide for the common defense and general welfare to cases which are to be provided for by the expenditure of money would still leave within the legislative power of Congress all the great and most important measures of government, money being the ordinary and necessary means of carrying them into execution. So here he's saying that by using this to provide for these things and using this money to do that, it basically trumps everything by just this one little clause. And like he said before, by doing that, it basically it just wipes away the entire enumeration of powers. That was not the intent. And that's why going through the ratification debates, it's really clear that the intent of that clause was literally a preamble to the enumerated powers, that as they go down and they talk about the militia, they talk about the, you know, the lands and so forth, this was supposed to be done in a uniform way to in just with the intent of providing common defense and general welfare within these enumerated powers. Nothing more. You cannot use that clause for anything outside of the enumerated powers. If, and this is him continuing, if a general power to construct roads and canals and to improve the navigation of watercourses with the train of powers incident thereto be not possessed by Congress, the assent of the states in the mode provided in the bill cannot confer the power. I want you to clearly understand this, that even if they got this bill through and the state said, oh, okay, because you're buying us off, this is going to come with money with strings attached, that's okay because we want money, it still does not confer the power. All of these departments that have been created unconstitutionally, from the Department of Interior and everything else, does not confer the power. The states still have the power to say, we never delegated you that power within this contract. The only cases in which the consent and secession of particular states can extend the power of Congress are those specified and provided for in the constitutions. What's he talking about? He's basically telling you have to amend the Constitution if you want this power to be extended to the federal government. That's exactly what he's saying there. And so if you go into the very last paragraph, this is kind of where he confers back to his friends and says, I am not unaware of the great importance of roads and canals and the improved navigation of watercourses, and that a power in the national legislature to provide for them might be exercised with single or signal advantage to the general prosperity. But seeing that such a power is not expressly given by the Constitution, and believing that it cannot be deduced from any part of it without an inadmissible latitude of construction and reliance on insufficient precedents, believing also that the permanent success of the Constitution depends on definite partitions of powers between the general and state governments, which is the federal and state governments, and that no adequate landmarks would be left by the constructive extension of the powers of Congress as proposed in the bill. I have no option but to withhold my signature from it and to cherishing the hope that it is, that its beneficial objects may be obtained by a resort for the necessary powers to the same wisdom and virtue in the nation which established the Constitution in its actual form and providently marked out in the instrument itself a safe and practical mode and improving as it expands. So what he's talking about here, and I wanted to make sure I had that word right, providently. That kind of refers to wisdom, and I usually when they use that word providently, that kind of refers to the Lord and his divine wisdom. So anyway, that kind of threw me off. I apologize. But actually what he's talking about here is the instrument itself. So it marked out, so he says, the Constitution in its actual form and providently marked out in the instrument itself, a safe and practicable mode of improving it, as experience might suggest. So in other words, the only way that they could institute this power and granting the federal government the ability to control highways, waterways, roadways, airways, transportation would be in the form of an amendment. So here's the question. Does the government, because I don't see an amendment in the Constitution, how did all of a sudden the government have a Department of Transportation or the aviation, controlling over aviation and or the waterways and so forth? How is it that all of a sudden these things are being maintained, managed, and taxed for and designed at the controls of the federal government when Madison clearly stated that they couldn't do that? And oh, by the way, this wasn't the first time, and I've said this before, Monroe was asked in 1822, would you please amend the Constitution, or would you please give us this power to control and build and tax the citizens or tax the states for, you know, building these highways that we want to build? And Monroe came back and said, no, I'm sorry, I got to veto this bill, because if you want that kind of power, you've got to amend the Constitution. They did it again with Andrew Jackson in 1830. And basically, I think it was May 27th. And basically, they did the same kind of thing. They wanted to create a taxation and a power for the federal government to start building and maintaining roads and so forth. And Jackson even got it right and said, no, you've got to amend the Constitution if you want to do this, period. And we still don't have an amendment, folks. Three presidents, no amendment, and I'm scratching my head. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile, I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so, if you don't understand why this is such an important document, here in this one document, Madison shuts down the four common portals that the federal government use in creating or assuming a power for itself, because they basically point to one of these four clauses. Oh, it's for providing general welfare and defense. Or, oh, it's for the commerce, to regulate commerce amongst the states. Or it's, oh, the necessary and proper for us to do this and supreme. We've been bamboozled by dubious people for so long, it is just pathetic that we're in this situation. There was a lot of things that I was planning on trying to cover in the remainder of this show. So let me try to see if I can blur through this. But I want you to go back and think, though. The words that I just read, I want to repeat this. The words that I read were those deceitful designs of Madison and any of these other documents that I cite from the framers, were they being deceitful? Or have we been deceived by our education system, by our politicians, by lawyers and justices and so forth? Because I will tell you that if they're not pointing to these source documents, then, and they're going down and pointing to the UN and all these, I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has done that. O'Connor, I forget what it's, Sarah something, I said Sandra Day O'Connor, something like that. Anyway, I'm terrible with names, so forgive me, folks. Bottom line, she has cited UN and international law, and a lot of the liberal judges have done that. And so they've used those types of things to push us and to get us moved in the direction that they want. Near as I can tell, the Constitution does not allow the judges or the Supreme Court or the justice system as it was set up. It has no latitude or leverage in moving us. It is supposed to make a ruling as to whether it is in the Constitution and or ratified treaties or not. And that is the limit of their jurisdiction. They cannot reach into international law. They cannot reach into ideas and ideologies and so forth. So anyway, as you go on through this this maze of documents and as we continue through this path, there's no doubt that the framers created a limited and hard-defined contract that kept the federal government within the scope of these specific powers and those powers only. Now, they're well outside that, so the only process of getting them back into that is the audit process. I will also say this, that if you're not garnering how much time we have left, the education system has been manipulating young minds. There are plenty of states out there, Washington State being one, that is trying to lower the voting age down to 16. They know that if they can get kids to vote, boy, I'm telling you, kids will look at that as a lightning rod for them to invoke the communist change that they've been inculcated and brainwashed into believing, yes, we've got to surrender our liberties for us to be better off. What? I can't believe these idiots are saying this. But then again, kids lack wisdom. They have no basis other than everything that they've been fed by their teachers. I remember writing about this in my first book, where there was this contrast of view between the educator and parents, and the school board basically shut parents down in trying to have any control over the perverse things that were, and this is in Florida, that were being fed to the children as far as information regarding sex education, perverse, you know, sexuality and so forth. And the teacher that was standing up to defend the importance of educating these kids basically said that these young minds are very impressionable and it's important that they get this good education instead of the dogma that is coming from the religious right. And I'm going, it seems to me more like dogma coming from the religious left than it is from the right, because what they're teaching has no business in school, and I think we're losing the battle, folks. If we don't step up, I'm going to tell you, 3 to 5 years at the most, I will be somewhere in a bunker and saying, well, I did everything I can. I tried to motivate you in stepping up. I've tried to get you involved. I myself am not a good promoter. If you ask anybody that's on my email list, and if you want to get on my email list, by all means, you know, fire me a Facebook line, fire me an email, say, hey, make sure you include me on your emails. Because I think the last email I may have sent out was maybe last summer or last spring. I I don't take a lot of time in promoting myself. I just actually pinged a group while I was on the air today to say, hey, I'm on the air. Maybe you want to listen. Maybe I'll make an announcement about this web page or this Facebook page coming back because it was taken offline. But anyway, if you want to help get this word out, then just by all means help promote this and help people understand that there is actually a show that's different. It's not about entertaining us with news and getting us enthralled with all sorts of passionate things and consuming us with all the negativity and the distractions that are going on. The only way we're going to kill the Leviathan is by focus. We first have to understand the fundamentals, then we have to execute, because the intent is to get David to stand. So as you're watching all of these distractions, I'm hoping you're getting better and better at just turning them off and focusing on fixing the problem. Because this is all marketing I'm trying to get you to, you know, focus on. When you watch what's going on in DC, when you watch what's going on in the world and on these news sets, as they select the most worthy news for you to be focused on, they're just distracting you. That's all that's happening. That's keeping you from being able to become a very powerful weapon in exercising your knowledge and directing your state legislators in doing their job. We need to start channeling our energy on those, who have the ability and the effect of, making a difference, of really taking over and helping us get our liberties back and helping us save our Constitution. So as this marketing goes out, I'm hoping that it strikes the heart of the matter for you, that we don't have any more time to waste as you watch these unprecedented, a Mueller investigation crap that's going on. If we're going to get people motivated, we need to channel your energy, my energy, and everybody else's energy on those things that, have really caused motivating things, people who have been victimized. Who out there has been victimized more aptly and put adversely affected by the government encroachments? And as a matter of fact, I'll even list these government encroachments. The Department of Interior, Department of Justice. Look at all the things that the Department of Justice has been. People have died at the hands of our Department of Justice, fast and furious. The Department of Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, all these are unconstitutional. Transportation, there it is. Energy, Education, Veterans Affairs, Homeland Security. All of these things are unconstitutional, my friends. And I'm trying to tell you that if we start channeling our energy on those institutions that have been truly affected, then I will tell you that institution that has been most affected because of those unconstitutional departments, roles, responsibilities, and powers, it is the state government. The states have been most adversely affected. They have been constrained so much that they can't even use their own resources. Most of them, as a matter of fact, can't even control their own land because the federal government stake claim on those. Those are unconstitutional claims. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows them to do that. They've created statutes and regulations to do that. And show me in the Constitution where you can use statute and regulations to extend beyond the boundaries of the Constitution. Near as I can tell, the only way to do this is via a constitutional amendment. That is why it is critical. It is important that we go back as states, rise as a David, as I said last week, and literally take back these powers, roles, and responsibilities. The next institution that I'm going to just start to touch on, because I only have a couple seconds left, is our religious institutions. Our religious institutions have been constrained and controlled And actually, they have been duped. And I think in many ways, they've been culpable in the problem because they allow the federal government to provide for the charity and the welfare and the jobs that they're supposed to be doing. They've basically abdicated their responsibility to the government so that they can keep their money, because as people, as the taxes increase, then the people feel less charitable. And so because the institutions, these religious institutions, have become money-making machines, they've become a part of the problem. And so when we come back tomorrow, I'm going to get into this. I would ask you to Google the Circle of Protection before we do, and I will have information on that institution tomorrow for you when we get back. I will be drilling down into the Circle of Protection and this particular institution and how insidious it is in basically selling you out to government so the government has greater controls on you. If you want to stop this, we have to reclaim the republic. I am G.R. Mobley, and that is exactly what we're doing here. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. Thank you so much.